Good morning, good afternoon. Please go ahead. This call is now being recorded.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the Translation and Transliteration of Contact Information PDP Working Group call on the 6th of November, 2014. On the call today, we have Wen Zai, Chris Dillon, Jennifer Chung, Jim Galvin, Justine Chu, Peter Green, May Srichapim Surawat, and Wanawit Akuptra. We have apologies from Peter Dernbeck, Amr Elstar, Lindsay Hamilton-Reed, Efren Percy Kenyatto, and Petter Reinforth. From staff, we have Julie Hedlund, Lars Hoffman, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Chris.
Thank you very much. Now, I've had a couple of other apologies within the last couple of hours, in fact, and one of them is Rudy Vansnick, and the other one is Emily Taylor. I think that is a complete list as far as I know. Okay, thank you very much. All right, well, in that case, let's move on and just move into the statements of interest section. And I need officially to ask you all whether there have been any changes in the statements of interest since the last meeting. Probably not, but just watching the chat room. Thank you for that. And then we can go into the main part of the meeting, which is the draft initial report. And we've got in front of us now in the chat room a new version of the report, which was circulated a few days ago. I would like to ask for comments people have on the report. And I was actually quite surprised when I did a slow reread of the report. I found quite a lot of things, so there are certainly some comments I have to make about the report, so we can do those too. And then perhaps if we can, I'll send this out to the list after the call, but if we can then have a deadline for comments on this version, which would be sort of Wednesday next week, and then we can pull together things and have a discussion on Thursday's meeting next week. All right. Might as well come up to the top of the document, and perhaps it's good right at the beginning to say whether anybody has some general comments about the draft before we go into detail. All right, I do have one or two general comments, so I'll just bring those up before we plunge in. I think one thing is that there is no summary of the report yet. I think we're leaving that till the last minute, so that's just one general thing to notice. And there is also, I think, possible general weaknesses here is that we still need to spend more time on really why transform. I think that's one possible weakness. And because we still have the mandatory transformation arguments in this version, if they are there, then we possibly need to spend more time considering who pays, because obviously if there is mandatory transformation, that is a key question. And obviously because the straw man I drafted some time ago now was saying that transformation should not be mandatory. Obviously, if it's not mandatory, you don't need to worry about who pays. So it's really only if it is mandatory that becomes key. The other sort of general comment is that just before last week's meeting, Petta sent round a very interesting email, and it contained several points we may want to pick up again. But one of them is a point about that whatever this contact information is, whether it's transformed or not, it really needs to be machine readable. Now, to be honest, that is something that we have perhaps been taking for granted. So, you know, the thought that there may be other ways of inputting the data, I don't know, image files or something like that, perhaps hasn't really crossed the mind. But I thought that was an interesting point, and it may be worth being more overt about that and actually including something that, you know, whatever happens, it really does need to be machine readable. That really, it's almost a recommendation we could make whether or not transformation is mandatory. It sort of comes before the other recommendations, really, at an earlier stage. All right. Now, if there aren't any other general points about the document, then it's even I think those are the only general points I wanted to bring up. But anyway, if there aren't any others, then we can gradually start going through and possibly... Yes, it's actually easier to do the points as they come up in the document. I think perhaps that's the best way to do it. So let us just scroll down and pick up points as they arise. Okay, I've got to about page 5, and I don't think there's anything until page 5. Ah, yes, but there is something on page 6, so I'll just go down there. Okay, so on page 6, we've got this last bullet point. When should any new policy relating to translation and transliteration of contact information come into effect? Now, one of the other interesting things that came out of Petta's email, I think, affects this quite in quite a major way, because Petta was writing that there has been a debate about basically transformation should go into that there should be transformation into ASCII, and there's quite a lot of information in his email about the 2013 RAA, and for me, what came out of that was really that if, you know, certainly if we were to say that transformation should be mandatory, in fact, probably the other way as well, that probably we are talking about the replacement system. So it really, so the current RAA already has policy in place, and it would be difficult for us to, or difficult or impossible for us to change that. So I felt that the arguments in his email were actually affecting this point, this this thing about when the policy should come into effect. I don't know whether anybody else has feelings about that, but I thought I would like to raise that. Okay. And just continuing down, let's see where we need to stop next. Oh, yes. We don't get very far. Ah, oh, sorry, yes. Jim, would you like to raise something on that?
So, this is Jim Galvin for the transcript. So, I'm not sure if I was trying to follow your train of thought there in talking about Petra's message, but in talking about his comment about the RAA, and is it appropriate to make a comment about the idea that transliteration to ASCII is encouraged or desired in the data? I mean, he makes that point in there, and I have a comment about it if it's appropriate at this point.
That sounds very appropriate to me. As I was talking about his email, I was actually becoming increasingly aware that that part of it is important. So, by all means, do pick that up.
Okay. So, I don't even want to pretend to be an armchair lawyer in all of this, but I think another interpretation of what's going on in the 2013 RAA is not quite as far-reaching as I think what Petter is proposing. In particular, I would say that what they're really trying to get at here is that Port 43, by definition, in the protocol, really is a U.S. ASCII-based protocol. And part of what's going on is trying to ensure that that's what's really there, so that the protocol is usable as it's defined. I did not automatically jump to the idea that this is suggesting that, you know, all output has to move to U.S. ASCII. They're going to require that. I mean, on the flip side, you're only taking in U.S. ASCII anyway, or at least you should be. I don't think that it's an extension of what's required there. There's a lot. So maybe the larger point here is that there's a lot more nuance going on in what that requirement is, or what it should be. Concerned that, you know, we not overinterpret that ourselves here in this particular group.
Thank you, Jim. Yes. So actually, because of the protocol, it has to be US ASCII. So in fact, it's not as simple as it being linked to whether it's of existing system or existing RAA, it's actually more complicated than that. But I think there may be some sort of ramification. You know, there is some sort of network of dependencies there, but I think it still leaves things open for us to describe a system where there aren't those technical limitations, where people could put their data in the non-Roman scripts, and it still leaves us with the question whether that data need to be transformed or not.
So, yes, continuing, I think yes. The way that I would approach this, you know, in our discussions and in our document, is leaving open the possibility that there might be data in another form. In other words, try to not focus on the protocol that's in use.
Yeah.
Because
okay.
I think that there's an expectation that the protocol will change.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at what's going on in the ITF and the WIRDS group, we have the Internationalized Registration Data Working Group. You know, some thoughts even out of the Directory Services Expert Working Group. Clearly a change is coming. I think that if we reference that a change is coming and try to separate ourselves from the choice of protocol, then I agree with you, Chris. We leave ourselves with the question, and discussion about the circumstances, and that would be appropriate, I think.
Indeed, yes. Thank you very much for that. All right. Returning to the document, let's just see. Oh, yes, we don't get very far before something else, in fact. On page 7, I'll just scroll down. Now, I mean, it's almost a proofreading level thing, but there is a clause here I am not completely happy with, and that is, considering that the first overarching question that the working group was chartered to answer is binary, whether or not it is desirable to translate, transliterate, the group spent considerable time. Now, or actually, it's not as far as that. It's the sort of considering bit as far as the contact information. It makes it sound as if we wasted a lot of time, and we probably did waste some time. These things are unavoidable. But I was wondering whether we could actually miss out that clause and just start with the group spent considerable time. You know, I'm sure there's going to be lots of criticism of this report, but I just feel that by leaving that in it would be nice to avoid that criticism. I see Jim's agreeing with that, so perhaps it's okay to remove that clause. I would quite like to, but if anybody would like to keep it, then by all means make arguments, or if there's a solid reason for keeping it, then by all means. Okay, Jim, would you like to add something?
Yes, so Jim Gowan for the transcript. And similarly, the next sentence then in many ways seems to state the obvious, and makes me curious about, maybe we should delete that sentence too, that the one that says the group prioritized, arguments so that we could understand what was brought forward by the community. Well, I mean, haven't we already said that? We spent considerable time talking about community input. Just a thought. I mean, I don't want to over-editorialize while we're on this call here. At some level, somebody can just edit the document and take this stuff out, and we can, and, if you leave the redlining in, when we're all reading it later, we can see if anybody disagrees or doesn't like it. But there you go.
Okay. Thank you for that. Yes, I'm very sympathetic to that. I mean, anybody who has had anything to do with this group knows that that's what we've done. So I think especially if it is made clear elsewhere in the report, it can certainly come out. But so shall we perhaps say that we take out both clauses, but just wait a moment to see whether anybody would like to... and Jim is suggesting some text, which is always useful. And for that. Aha, yes. Okay. Yes, that sounds as if it may. Thank you, Justine, as well. All right. I think that's enough to get a better draft there. So leave that with us, and we'll try and take this all into account in the next version. And returning to the document, let's see how far we get this time. Ooh, we're doing well. Yeah, so just make a very brief comment as we passed. It's not a, it's really not a major one at all. There's something on page 10. Now have I gone too far? Oh, whoops, yes I have. Now there's lots of talk about registered name holders, technical contacts and administrative contacts. Now, under some models, there may be other contacts. I don't think it's worth editing. I think this. I cannot imagine that adding a few more contacts is going to change anything structural. But you know, just to be completely accurate, that does seem to be the case. Justine has found a typo. That doesn't surprise me at all. In the last para. Now let's see if I can spot it. Oh yes, R. I know what happened there. It's originally it was is, and I swapped it for R. And yeah, okay. Thank you for that. R's. Oh dear. All right. Let's see how far we get this time. Yes. As we go on to page 11, this is actually possibly a more general comment that I should have made at the start. But anyway, let's do it now. And it is that in Los Angeles, we had a brilliant meeting because we really discovered some pretty weak arguments. We also discovered one or two strong arguments, and this draft is very much based on the discussion we had in Los Angeles. However, the weak arguments tended to go out completely. So, I mean, it may be that there are some minor parts of those arguments that got turfed out that actually need to be brought back in some way, possibly in other parts of the report. So that's just a general comment. That's one thing that would not surprise me. Okay. And so scrolling down, the change that I did make here is this last point: the mandatory transformation would avoid possible flight by bad actors to the least translatable languages, which again is something that came out of Petter's email. I thought it was a very important idea. Now, after adding this point, I then wondered whether it could have been amalgamated with bullet point two above, which is the transformation would to some extent facilitate that thing. But if you see in the middle of it, you've got makes bad practices more difficult. At the moment, I think I'm sticking to my guns. I think it's such an important point that I quite like the fact that it's a separate point on its own. But if somebody would like to do something about that, then I would be quite interested in hearing. Jim, would you like to add something?
Yes, please. Jim Galvin for the transcript. I'm concerned that the last bullet point might be incomplete. What I mean by that is, if there's a mandatory transformation, then presumably tools would have to come into existence so that transformations could occur.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, I mean, that's just sort of a natural progression of things.
Yes.
And it would seem to suggest that then certain languages and scripts would not be usable until there was a transformation tool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It seems to me that that same logical progression of events is true even in the context of that last bullet. I mean, if you open the door for any language to be used, the languages and scripts can't be used if there's no tool to transform them.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems to me that regardless of which side of the, whether it's a, I'm thinking that if the language and script are not transformable, then it won't be used, because you can't use it because you can't transform it, which means you can't really migrate to non-translatable languages because they're not permitted.
That is true when one is considering automatic tools. However, we can also argue that one of the big problems with the mandatory transformation argument is that the tools do not exist. So if we were to recommend that transformation be mandatory, effectively what we're saying is that in the case of languages for which there are no automatic tools, we are mandating manual transformation. So come to think of it, I'm not sure we've stressed that argument enough.
Well, even if it's manual, you know, the point is, if it can be transformed, then it's going to be transformed, and I don't believe that this argument applies. If it cannot be transformed, then what I would expect is that the language and script cannot be used, and therefore you can't move to using the least translatable language. You know, even if you have something which is not automated and it's done manually, and so you migrate to that because you're trying to overburden and create work,
mm-hmm.
I think that would force the rules to be changed in such a way that it would, you know, that would not be an action that one would take.
Okay. Now, I'm wondering if this actually raises another element of Petter's email, which is the possibility, which we really haven't discussed very much, about whether we would actually have some kind of limitation on languages. And in Petter's email, he suggests either the UN languages or some kind of small number, that the figure 20 was mentioned.
So this is Jim. I mean, I guess
yes.
I'll just jump in here. I don't actually know how to respond to that at the moment. There are many things that jump out at me when I think about suggesting a list of things, because, you know, the list has to come into existence. You know, who's going to do that? Does that force us to then delay all of this, because then it becomes a timing constraint as to whether you need it before you do this? You've got the whole issue of who decides what's on the list and what's not on the list and maintenance
mm-hmm.
of the list.
Yeah.
So I'll just stop there. I'm not sure how to respond to that suggestion.
Okay, that actually sounds like part of an argument against transformation to me, and it's not one we've seen much of so far. All right, Bittyman, would you like to add something to that?
Hi, it's Bittyman here for the transcript. I'm not against anything that we are talking about, but I just want to add that the tools we are talking, maybe it's not something like automated tools, but it can be like standard procedure, or if you declare what is the expected result of the transformation of one language to another language. Like if you say if you want to transform from Thai to Latin script, then we base on this standard. Then that could be the tools in my understanding. So somehow you have the common expected result. So that's what I want to add. I might propose some script later, but yeah, I'm thinking what should be the text now.
Thank you for that, Pitinam. If transformation occurs, and just for the moment, let's talk about transliteration, then transliteration has to occur using the rules of a particular standard. There is a straight away an issue there, because there are languages with several standards. We've spoken about Japanese would fall into that case. There are also languages without standards. So it's quite a minefield. So that's the situation as I would perceive it on the transliteration front. But if transformation were to occur along the lines that we have discussed before, then actually, most of the time we are talking about transliteration. Translation. This is really quite a difficult area, because one can legitimately transform, the word tabashi in Japanese could legitimately be translated either as right or correct. It really means either, and you get this situation over and over again. So it's the idea of having translation which is controlled is it's not impossible. You can create controlled vocabularies, so you can have a controlled vocabulary where a particular word is always translated in a particular way, but it is quite difficult. But it's certainly another piece of this jigsaw. Thank you. All right. Unless there's anything else about that, let us just go down a bit further and see what we find lower down. I think we've got off page 11. Ooh. We've had a good page 12 as well. Aha, but page 13, I have discovered something. Basically, there is this long bullet point. So it starts off talking about accurate transformation, and then in the middle there is a thing on it is actually sort of intelligence. So it means that machines doing the transformation would have to know when to transliterate and when to transform. There is this whole business about, in the case of Beijing, you transliterate, but in the case of Bangkok, ideally you would translate, and you would you'd use Krung Thep, which has no relation to Bangkok at all. So there's that point. Now, what this raises is that I am wondering whether this this bullet point is actually covering two different areas and it should be split. So what's going through my mind is that we might want to split this bullet point just before four purposes in the middle of it, because you then have one point on accuracy and another point on the sort of intelligence of transformation. You could almost think of it like that. So I don't know what people feel about that. Need a bit. Okay. Jim, just before picking up your point, I'm just going to check the chat room because I think Pity Nan's been typing something. So she's just saying the thing about the standards and that the language order needs to declare which standard they're using. Yes, that's exactly what I was saying. Okay, Jim, would you like to pick that up?
Oh, thank you, Jim Galvin, for the transcript. I was just going to comment that I'm neutral on whether we split it. I mean, on the one hand, I take your point, Chris, and so there's some value in the fact that we are making two different points, if you want to look at it at that level of detail. On the other hand, you know, the point here is about accurate information, and there's sort of two things one can say about accurate information, and in that context, you could leave it in one bullet. To the extent that we also have a bullet on accuracy further down, you know, which might be, I think it might be duplicative, since we already have the comment about the number of languages that are supported, so we might be able to remove that. But I think other than that, all the rest of the bullet points are unique, and that would suggest to me that we keep it together if we remove the one duplication at the end rather than split it. But overall, I'm neutral on the point. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. And you read my mind to some extent, because I was looking at the bullet point further down. It would be near impossible to achieve accuracy in transforming. In fact, I was even wondering whether we'd use the right word there, accuracy, because one could equally well say achieve consistency or accuracy. It's actually referring to both of those. Okay. Yes, there is certainly an issue there. Now, I feel in a situation where I have a dislike of putting majorly different things together, conflating things. So I think I am tending to split that bullet point, the one at the top, and then the other one is more a thing about consistency, or you know, it is both, but so that may mean that we can keep it. Jim, would you like to pick up now? I see that you're typing.
Sure.
Something.
Yeah, Jim Galvin for the transcript, and I was kind of typing my comment. I figured, well, while you were talking, I was going to type, and I'll finish my second sentence. But, you know, I was thinking if we keep the bullets, you know, as they are, and rather than splitting it, we could use a footnote to define what accurate transformation is, because we can draw on the definition from the solution study that ICANN did and have a reference to it that way, too. And then my second sentence that I was typing here, and I'll finish it just so it's in here too, in the chat room too, is then we could have just sub-bullets in there. And, you know, we're talking about accurate transformations, and here are the 3 points, if you will, if it turns into 3 points, that are relevant under the context of accurate transformation. In a way, I guess I'm kind of currently, although I said I was neutral before, now I'm leaning towards the idea of, you know, there are some major bullet points to be made in favor of, you know, this particular recommendation. Just like in the previous one, you know, there are some main bullet points of recommendations to be made. And, you know, we'll stick the details inside the main bullet points rather than trying to grow the absolute number of, you know, supporting points for a particular recommendation.
Yes. Okay. Well, I guess I'm sort of I'm heading slightly in the direction of keeping it together, I think. Yes. Okay. Well, certainly it's an area that requires looking at, and also certainly we no bad thing to define the define accuracy and consistency. All right, now looking at the chat room, something is going on. Oh, yes, we've got a request to go back to page 12, second bullet from the bottom. It would be more efficient. Okay. Oh, yes. Waiting for that comment to come through. Ah, yes, so we've got, this would provide greater accuracy than transformation, and it would provide those wishing to contact name holders to identify there. So, okay, so here this is the possibility which is already happening with CCTLDs, apparently, whereby they don't transform the non-Roman contact information. They just leave it in the original script. But what they do is they transform, in fact, they translate the names of the fields in the database. So this point should be flagging up that CC approach as being quite attractive. I think that's the idea behind it. Provide greater accuracy than transformation, in the sense that it's the original data, it's more likely to be accurate, and it would provide those wishing to contact name holders. Yeah, yes, it certainly does that because it is the original data, so it's most likely to be useful for contacting. I think that's the way I read that. I wonder if that's all right. Jim, would you like to pick up something there?
Yeah, so Jim Calvin for the transcript. I was going to let this one go for right now, but since Justine raised the question and got us focused on it here, I figured I'd raise it later when we doing comments about the document. I'm actually not sure. I think the word efficient is probably not the right word to use here. It's not about efficiency. I think that, you know, it's certainly more convenient for actual domain holders to be able to use their own local script, and language, and it's not really efficient per se, but certainly, and maybe this is the efficiency point, you know, that if you had to transform it, well, there's work involved in doing that, that's whether or not, I mean, that just gets to one of the other bullet points here. About whether or not you can do that and whether or not you can do it. I'm not even convinced about the greater accuracy. You know, I mean, the greatest accuracy is not doing anything to it, because we really need to get into this. The bullet comes right after this one about accurate transformation is being expensive and the difficulties that go with that. And then I'm not even sure, why do we have an example in this particular bullet that we don't have examples in anything else? And I'm not even sure if that example follows. I'm not sure what I'm looking for in that example that's justifying the other two sentences. anyway, so what's my overall comment? You know, frankly, I really didn't like this bullet, but I guess I wasn't prepared to argue for or against it at the moment. I'm sort of inventing this on the fly here while we're chatting. I was going to wait and take some more time and put a comment in the document as part of commenting on it. But
okay, yeah,
here we are.
Thank you for that. I think if I pick up one thing, you said before. I know Peterman's waiting to say something, but just pick up one thing, and that is, I think the fact that there is an example there. For me, is actually quite a positive thing. In some ways, perhaps we should have more examples under other bullets. I feel it's quite positive that we do have the example there. I think it doesn't. The idea isn't that in some way the example adds to the weight of it, but it would be good to have more examples. Although obviously the effect of that, you probably end up with a substantially longer document. But I think that price may be worth paying. Kitty, now, would you like to make a comment? I think we've got
Kathy. Yeah, you hear me? Okay.
Yes, I can.
I think, I'm not sure, but I guess this bullet is applicable very much for the CCTRD, but for the TTRD, the registrar have a large possibility to deal with the registrant's languages, right? So I'm not sure if it's quite practical for not CCTLD. That's my comment for now.
That's worth taking into account. Okay. There's quite a lot going on in the chat room, so I'll just check we're not missing anything. Okay. Okay, and there's a grammatical problem with the word this, which I will, Justina's flagging that up. We're starting to time out, so I think I'll do that in slow time. And then Jim is making a point about the example. Yes. I think it is unfortunate that there aren't enough examples, and it is looking a bit lonely. I would agree with that. Okay. Right. I'll get back to the grammatical problem later, because that may take me some time to unpick and just have a look and see if there's anything we want to look at a little bit further down, page 13. Answer. No? Oh, yes, okay. As we go over onto page 14. Page 14 down here. Should be something the working group recommends at every current. Okay. When I read this sentence, alarm bells went off inside me. The working group recommends that every current and future GTLD registration data entry that is provided in non-Latin script be transformed into Latin-based ASCII. The alarm bells went off very loudly in my ears, because this is just such a massive thing. I mean, it's just the amount of work that this demands is just huge, and I have been in previous situations where organizations have had to do huge amounts of work to database records, and specifically in library situations, in fact. I've been in situations where we've had ASCII records for Japanese books, and then there has been a project and we've then added Japanese records for these ASCII records. Now, in a library context, that would always be done with two projects. So you would say, first of all, any new Japanese book would be catalogued in Japanese with ASCII. And then if we ever get the time, we'll go back and have a retrospective project and do all of the earlier ones. But basically what I'm saying is that there may be a better way of handling this rather than doing all current and future. You may want to do the future one first and then go back and do past ones. So that's a sort of a way of getting out of that. And I think, oddly enough, that is more or less the last comment I wanted to make. Ah, no, just a moment. Yes. And unfortunately, I also have to go to another meeting now, so I realize this is a bit tantalizing, but I think we should probably, we are almost at the end of the hour anyway, I think we should probably round off this meeting, and what I'll do is produce with colleagues another version which will then attempt to pick up all of these points for next week's meeting. Sorry to rush off on you, but I think that's the best thing to do. See you all again, same time next week. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Francesca, if you can please stop the recording.